black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's nursing. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you.
They're zombies.
You are joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host.
What's good, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 172. And this is episode 172. And today is May 21st, 2021. Current time is 8:09 p.m. It's still light out, actually.
Spring has sprung.
And it looks like it's going to be a
great summer.
And today is a special day. Why is that, you ask? Did you know that today is the 21st day of the 21st week of the 21st year of the 21st century? And I just thought about something. If I can release this by 9 o'clock, it'd be the 21st hour of that day. Oh, I could actually take it to 21 minutes after and 21 seconds. But hey, I mean, it's interesting. It's kind of strange, too. Which is what today's episode is all about. Strange historical events that you won't read about in any history books. Let's get right into things. This is by Glenn Corot on 22words.com. The Anglo-Zanzibar War lasted approximately 45 minutes, making it the shortest war in history. Some events aren't deemed significant enough to occupy chapters of a history book. There's so much history, but there is no one Bible of all that ever was documented, unfortunately. Thankfully, all those weird things that school didn't cover are still out on the internet. Here's some strange historical events that history books gloss completely over. Here's a great one. You're gonna like this one. In the 1980s, Domino's introduced a mascot named the Noid. Does anyone remember that? I do. Its main goal was stealing pizzas and making your pizza delivery late. The slogan was Avoid the Noid. We're talking early 80s. Well, obviously, in the 1980s. Unfortunately, there just so happened to be a paranoid schizophrenic named Kenneth Noid, who thought the whole campaign was created to mock him just because of the name. The similarity in a name. Well, they both had the same obscure name. Sounds like a good enough reason to me for kidnap. So one day, Noid entered an Atlanta Domino's location and took two employees hostage. And the irony is delicious. No pun intended. During a 5-hour standoff, he got so hungry that he demanded the employees make him some pizzas. They demanded he make him some pies. And, of course, he's holding them hostage, so he didn't pay for any of them. So, inadvertently, he's living up to the mantle of the Noid. To the mantle of the Noid's tendency to steal pizzas. He was eventually apprehended and spent some time in a mental asylum until his death in 1995. Meanwhile, Domino's retired the mascot because of that and was never mentioned again. However, that's not entirely true. This article needs to be updated because they actually did reintroduce the Noid. Yes, they did. 2021. The Noid is back with a vengeance. The sequel. The Return of the Noid. Forget Return of the Mac. It's the
Return of the Noid. Alright.
That was unprofessional. But that's what we do sometimes. Where was I? But yep, that's... The Noid is back. The story of a pioneer surgeon. In 1809, Jane Todd Crawford rode on horseback from Greensburg, Kentucky to Danville, Kentucky, 60 miles, at the age of 44. She needed an abdominal tumor removed. The surgery was performed on Christmas Day by Dr. Ephraim McDowell on his kitchen table without anesthetic. A part of the fallopian tube, along with 22.5 pounds of, quote, stuff, the tumor, was removed. After 25 days, she returned home via horseback, so the story goes, on the same path. It was considered the first successful intentional opening of the abdominal cavity to remove something. She died at 78. Here's a crazy Titanic survival story. When a Titanic was sinking, the head chef aboard knew the ship was going down, so he decided to take as much wine as he could and drink it. His logic was it was going to the bottom of the ocean anyway, so why not? Anyway, so he gets pretty tipsy and gets pretty out of pocket and starts eating all the food he can find because he didn't know how long they would be out there. So he gets pretty out of pocket and starts to eat all the starts eating all the food he can find because he didn't know how long they would be out there. The man also filled at least one lifeboat with food and drinks, but decided not to get on, and he ended up in the water. He actually ended up in the water. So while the Titanic is tilting vertically, like in the film, picture that scene, and the head chef decides to climb onto the railing and walk across it, since it was basically a walkway at that point, gets to the propellers just as the boat breaks in half, and he rides it down. He gets to the top and spends as much time as he can out of the water by riding it down before being submerged into the ocean. He then waited for the lifeboats to come back and was one of the few people who survived while being in the water that night. Wow. So the moral of the story is YOLO. Unfortunately, we don't have anything in the mailbag today, but do you have a question or comment for WBHN NJ? Leave us a voicemail and it may get played on the air. Call 1-732-807-5574 to leave your message for us here at the podcast. We always look forward to comments, questions, and what have you from literally all over the world, and we enjoy hearing what you have to say. So give us a call at 1-732-807-5574.
Andrew Robinson here. At Armageddon Record Shop, we've partnered with eBay to expand our operation. My goal is to find the best deals on the highest quality products and give them to you at the lowest prices possible. The New World Order wants us dependent. We need to be self-sufficient. Visit us at ebay.com/USR/Armageddon Record Shop. Books, video games, clothing, and much more. New items every month. Armageddon Record Shop on eBay. Grammy Award winner and platinum recording artist, President Zen One. His debut studio album, Philosopher's Stone, including the smash single, New World Order. President Zen One, Philosopher's Stone, the digital album, available on iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, and CDBaby.com. Get your copy today.
This conflict next was incredibly deadly, but still so obscure. The Taiping Rebellion of 1850 to 1864 was the second most deadly singular conflict in history, at 25 million deaths, only beaten by the Second World War. Well, if Bill Gates has his way, he's gonna top that mark. He'll surpass that mark in no problem, in no time, rather. Think about the day-to-day implications of that. It's about 5,000 deaths per day, every day, for 14 years. That's a lot. That's a lot of work for the Grim Reaper. And especially since there's a lot less people on the planet. At that time, it was 1.2 billion. No, I'm actually looking. 1.2 billion. So to put that in perspective, that's about 2.1% of the total global population eliminated. That's a lot, man. Russian zombies. On August 6, 1915, undead Russian infantry successfully defended Osowich Fortress against German forces despite being heavily outnumbered. The German forces consisted of quote, 14 battalions of infantry, 1 battalion of sappers, 24 to 30 heavy siege guns, and 30 batteries of artillery equipped with poison gases, unquote. Russian forces were less than 1,000 and roughly half were militia. The Russians were determined to hold the fortress and did a remarkably good job of it, right up until the Germans flooded the entire structure with chlorine gas.
Chlorine gas can't stop angry Russians.
Chlorine gas? Chlorine gas will make your eyes, throat, lungs melt off and disintegrate. Well, the tissue. Russian gas masks did not protect against chlorine gas, and the fortress had no defenses that could protect them. The Germans waited for the gas to dissipate, and they just waltzed right in. The Russians countercharged. A band of men, their skin melting off, dead on their feet but too stubborn or angry to stop, charged the Germans. The Germans broke at the sight, ran, and were gunned down. And were gunned down in cold blood.
Wow, those are some tough people. Damn.
Here's another thing from the world of art. There was a period in the Middle Ages of knights fighting giant snails in paintings, and no one knows why. That's a rabbit hole I think we're gonna go down. If not today, maybe another time. Here's another one. When the Mongols, at their height of power, conquered China, they were still in the phase of killing all the people and burning their cities to turn it back to pasture for their horses. Huge swaths of Central Asia had already been treated like that, had already been scorched, had already been torched down.
Sounds like Antifa.
Apparently, a northern tribesman who had fought against the Mongols had been captured and joined them. When they were deciding what to do with China, he convinced the Mongols there was more profit in leaving it as it was and levying taxes, with which the Mongols could buy whatever they wanted. Apparently, it didn't occur to them before that they didn't have to kill as many people as they didn't have to. But that northern tribesman, whoever he was, legend has it, saved millions of lives. Woolpit, England carries a strange legacy. The legend of the Green Children of Woolpit concerns two children of unusual skin color who reportedly appeared in a village of Woolpit in Suffolk, England, sometime in the 12th century. The children, it was a brother and a sister, were completely normal, except for the fact that they had green skin. They spoke in an unknown language and would only eat raw, broad beans. That is another story that we are going to probably go down a rabbit hole with. I heard that one a long time ago and forgot about that one. Eventually, though, they learned to eat other food. And they lost their green color. But the boy was sickly and died soon after, and he and his sister were... But the boy was sickly and died soon after he and his sister were baptized. The sister, she adjusted to her new life. After she learned to speak English, the girl explained that she and her brother had came from St. Martin's Land, a subterranean world inhabited by green people. Yeah, that's probably going to have to be another rabbit hole. So, and one more. How many more do I got? Here's another one, though. This sounds like something straight out the Bible. In 1794, it rained toads in Lillane, near a French city called Lille, or Lille. This event was witnessed by soldiers. Here's another one not in history books. Most Americans don't know about the 30 Years' War, which killed 20% of the German population. And another one. Here's something from Canada. Canada once had a heist of nearly 3,000 tons of maple syrup in 2011. They stole it. 2011 and 2012. They stole it from a cartel that controls 77% of the global maple syrup supply. The Halifax explosion. In 1917, a munitions ship detonated, creating the largest non-nuclear man-made explosion in history. Thousands died, thousands were injured, and the ship was burning long enough to attract attention, so it even blinded thousands more. Boston participated heavily in responding to the disaster. To this day, Nova Scotia donates the Christmas tree that is displayed publicly in Boston every year. Wow, this is interesting. It has to do with clocks. There was a span of time where clocks were already a thing, but too luxurious for the average citizen. But most cities had one on the church or something like that. And since the day starts a little bit different everywhere, every city had its own time zone. It had to be generalized over the globe because of the Industrial Revolution and railroads getting more popular. But it still took a really long time for every village to be convinced that it would be better to adopt. I mean, better to adapt. They had a lot of convincing to do. They were like, nah. We operate on our own timetables.
Well, I woke up to go give me a cold pop. And then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got her. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us. Just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, for the population of Baghdad. And awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. Why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
And now, on a lighter note, here's what's making headlines.
Here's a weird competition that happened. A Toronto financier left a part of his estate to whatever woman in the city could produce the most children in the decade following his death. Here's a female Paul Revere. Sybil Ludington rode 40 miles to her town to gather 400 troops and warn them that the British were coming to attack. Wait, we just got word? Okay, Facebook just called this misinformation, fake news. The British were not coming, it was only the military. So that's partially accurate. Anyway, back to this story. This happened in 1777, and she's often overshadowed by Paul Revere. Sybil was a 14-year-old girl who was on her horse, Star, when she did this in the middle of the night, waking troops by banging a stick on fence posts and other objects. There's currently a sculpture of her in New York, but somehow Paul Revere is always that first person that gets all the spotlight. But that's cool. I'd say she's equally as cool. All right, what else? Here's one. In the late 1800s and mid-1900s, it was common for there to be so much pollution in the Cuyahoga River in Ohio that it would regularly light on fire. At least 13 fires had been reported on that river, the first occurring in 1868, the largest river fire in 1952, caused over $1 million in damage to boats, a bridge, and a riverfront office building. Hey, here's one. Kodak and the government got up to some shady stuff. Kodak found out about nuclear detonations by using corn silk to pack their film, which would be messed up due to the radioactive fallout, and the government used their film. So they began telling Kodak when they were detonating nukes and where, so that they could ensure they didn't use radioactive corn silk to pack their film. They never told the U.S. public that they were eating irradiated food, though. That's worth a little rabbit hole right now. That's worth going down. So, on Reddit, today I learned that in 1946, Kodak customers complained about film developing cloudy. Kodak investigated and found the corn husks used for packing was radioactive. They discovered something that was not public knowledge. The packaging was exposed to fallout from the world's first nuclear bomb explosion. That has a link to imagingresource.com. Not so secret atomic tests. Why the photographic film industry knew what the American public didn't, by Tim Barabow. It's one of the dark marks of the U.S. government in the 20th century. A complete willingness to expose unwitting citizens to dangerous substances in the name of scientific advancement. It happened with the
Tuskegee syphilis experiment,
MK Ultra mind control,
and atomic bomb testing in the 40s and 50s. The Atomic Energy Commission knew that dangerous levels of fallout were being pumped into the atmosphere, but didn't bother to tell anyone. Well, anyone except the photographic film, the film industry. Yeah, photographic film industry. Photographic film is radiosensitive. That's the reason why you see, no one knows what a dosimeter is. Photographic film is radiosensitive and can be used to detect gamma, X-ray, and beta particles. But in 1946, Kodak customers started complaining about the film they bought coming out fog. Eastman Kodak investigated and found something unusual. The corn husks from Indiana they were using as packing materials were contaminated with the radioactive isotope iodine-131. Eastman Kodak had some of the best researchers at his hands, at his disposal. The company even had its own nuclear reactor in the 1970s, and they discovered something that the public didn't know, that those farms in Indiana had been exposed to fallout from the 1945 Trinity test in New Mexico, the world's first atmospheric nuclear bomb explosions, which ushered in the atomic age. Kodak kept this silent. And it doesn't end in 1946. With Kodak keeping a lid on atmospheric nuclear bomb testing by the government, the U.S. continued with atmospheric detonation tests, most famously in the Pacific, but also on the American soil in the 50s at the Nevada National Security Site. The first test in Nevada was in January of 1951, days later, as snow blanketed the city of Rochester, New York. Kodak detected spike radiation levels that measured 25 times the norm, some 1,600 miles away from the test site. Kodak registered a complaint with the National Association of Photographic Manufacturers, who contacted the Atomic Energy Commission. According to this memo, Kodak measured 10,000 counts per minute of radiation, compared to recent unaffected snowfalls that registered only 400. The AEC released a statement to the Associated Press claiming it was investigating and said it was measurably radioactive, and stated that there was no possibility of harm to people or animals. Said everything's under control, don't worry about it. So Kodak got brushed off by the company, then they threatened to sue. Then the AEC, Atomic Energy Commission, capitulated and agreed to give not just Kodak, but the entire film industry information about nuclear tests, weather patterns, predicted fallout, and more. This was info that no one else was getting. Years later, in 1998, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa on a Senate hearing said, quote, "In fact, the government warned the entire photographic industry and provided maps and forecasts of potential contamination. Where were the maps for dairy farmers? Where were the warnings for parents of children in those areas? So here we are, Mr. Chairman. The government protected rolls of film, but not the lives of our kids.
There's something wrong with this picture."
End quote. That's another dark piece of history. Yes, a dark chapter. They exposed the population of radiation and Fallout 76. I mean, there's more. I could continue to go on, but actually, let's end with that. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to join me on this podcasting journey. Thank you so much, though. I really appreciate the listeners, people I see the plays from all over the world, and I want to give just a big salute to everybody. Thank you so much. God bless you. You mean a lot to me. All right, for the WBHN Network, I'm Raven Blackheart, signing off. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Looking for web hosting but don't know who to choose with so many choices out there? Well, you can't go wrong with Bluehost. Bluehost is a leading web solutions services provider. Since 2003, Bluehost has continually innovated new ways to deliver on their mission to empower people to fully harness the web. So sign up today. You get a free domain, free site builders, one-click WordPress install, and 24/7 support. And if you sign up now, you get a special introductory offer of $3.95 a month. To get started, go to bluehost.com/track/Black Helicopter News.
Muted.